Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 woo!
And now, welcome to Good Things Radio with your host, Brooke Taylor.
Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 26 of Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor, broadcasting from bright and beautiful Ohio. For now, the colors are so vibrant and gorgeous, just taking it all in. And this is the first official episode without my dear friend Jennifer Willett. So thank you for having faith in this little podcast, Good Things Radio, and sticking with me here. Although she will be back, she'll be popping in. We're going to have mystery guests and all sorts of good features and fun sound effects and games and whatnot. But today, you just have me, although I do have some pretty fancy news to deliver and share with you and some updates. So we have a big show that we're going to get to today. Specifically, we want to talk about the retreat. And today, as I record this program, tickets are on sale, so I will get you up to speed. And I won't spend a ton of time because for those who aren't going or who might not just be interested this year, I know that it's not something that you want to dominate the whole show, but I do want to at least share the good news and the updates that we have with the retreat. Also on this show, episode 26, we're going to talk about the topic of how we teach our children, whatever age they may be. And because honestly, I think the older they get, sometimes the more deliberate we have to be in the way we teach and reach them. Because, you know, when they're little, they just kind of accept what we say. And that's not always the case the older they get. So we'll talk about that and some feedback on the topic of Halloween. Different, diverse opinions. We mentioned it on episode 25 and we received some feedback about that. We'll share your emails as well. As we jump in, though, let's take a minute and just make this time holy. Ask the Lord to make it count. So if you could join me in prayer, let's do that as we kick off the episode 26 program today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, with gratitude we greet you. May we find you in this day, in everything we see, everyone we meet. May we listen to your voice above the noise of all else and receive the messages tucked within the minutes of this day. St. John Paul II, pray for us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so first on the agenda today is the Arise Good Things Radio Women's Retreat, which is not only actually happening, which I'm still marveling at, but tickets are officially on sale and we are nearly sold out. I don't want to exaggerate and say we're that close, but we really are incredibly, incredibly close to being sold out. We have about 22 tickets left, 23 tickets left. And as I record this, we're about a day into our pre-sale. We said we were going to do a 72-hour exclusive pre-sale for our Good Things Radio listeners because it was you, our audience, that really prompted this retreat and brought it to life. So within an hour or a day, I mean, it's been extraordinary. So if we have an applause, we could use it now. There we go. Yes, very good. Thank you so much. It's just an amazing blessing. And even better than that, you know, God is the best matchmaker because like a magnet, he pulls souls together from far-flung areas that you'd think there's no way. How could we be friends or ever have known each other any other way but God? And with that magnet, he draws us with this force which is the Holy Spirit. And that's what I was thinking when I started to see the roster of women on this retreat. So far, in just a day, as I'm recording this podcast, we have people from 12 different states that are coming in to this event, from Washington State to California, New York, North Carolina, Indiana, Colorado, Pennsylvania. I know I'm missing a bunch, Ohio, but there's more. And it's not just the distance, but it's the amazing eclectic mix, and I can't wait to get to know everybody, and I know a little bit here and there about some of the people that are coming, and I don't want to divulge too much of their personal stories. I don't know if there's like a spiritual HIPAA law that I need to worry about, but I wanted to just offer a little bit with you because some of the ladies at the retreat are, just this most diverse mix. There's a police officer that will be there, a family physician, a scientist. She has a PhD and she's working on like her eighth degree, and women with grown children, many stay home moms, some with newborns, some grandmothers, some homeschool moms, some with, you know, all sorts of teachers. Just this amazing diversity. And of course, it's not about the title or what you do or the position. It's about your story. And that's what I love. I love the stories of our lives. And that's what I'm excited about. And I mean, really impressed too, by the way. I mean, that's a pretty amazing list of women. So just to see the spectrum and how rich and wonderful is going to make, you know, the weekend, not to mention the speakers themselves, and of course, Father Nathan, our retreat master. So I have all of this information in my head, and I hope it's just coming out articulately because I'm so excited to just share it all. And when you're doing a podcast, it's hard because it's like a one-way conversation. So I wanted to just at least give you that big update and let you know we do still have some tickets left. They are double occupancy. So if you have someone you want to share a room with, or we are looking at possibly sectioning those, even though it's double occupancy, if you want a room by yourself, that we just won't sell out that other bed. So we're kind of working through that option as well to add that. But all of the single occupancies are gone. And I also wanted to share something pretty cool in terms of the swag bags and the huge, generous gifts that will be just a blessing. You will be showered upon arrival. I just got word that every single woman at the retreat will receive a copy of Sarah Reinhart's brand new number one Amazon book, Word by Word, Slowing Down with the Hail Mary. Is that awesome? And as a bonus, Lisa Hendy is giving every woman a copy of her Advent devotional, O Radiant Dawn. That is a treasure. And I mean, if my heart could pass out from joy, it would, because not only is this such a blessing to see everybody respond and come, but then all of the goodies, and these are just starting to come together. So that's what I wanted to share with you, where we are now and where we still are going, which is room for about 24 more ladies. We can squeeze in about 24, and then that is it. So that's where we are. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for your yes and the enthusiasm and the support, and just will ask for ongoing prayers. And I also want to include those that weren't able to make it this year, because that's a bummer, or maybe you're just not interested, and that's fine. But just to cover everybody who's listening in prayer, that you can always have a retreat where you are when the Lord comes into your heart, when you ask to receive Him in that way. And as we talk about that, that you will receive graces and blessings as the months goes on as well. I also wanted to jump into a topic that we covered, Jennifer and I, last week on the podcast, which was Halloween. And we talked a little bit about costumes, but also the conflict that I have. She's, you know, we talked about it together, Jennifer and I, of spiritual unrest, I guess, when it comes to Halloween and the secular aspect of our culture. And it is a fine line, because of course we want to shine a light. And as Christians, it's an opportunity. That's what we do. We redeem things. We bring light to things. And we want to have a smile and to show Christ's love, and maybe have a little scripture on, you know, the candy that we give about the light of the world. And that's all good. But when do we decide to opt out and not be a part of a culture that has really gone too far? Or what lines do we draw as parents? Well, a couple emails came in that I wanted to share with you, and just to maybe reflect on, really diverse and opposite, which I thought was interesting. Both very good points. First is Kim. Kim Tizer is the host of a podcast called Our Catholic Way, and she's also a Good Things Radio listener and chimed in on this. So here's what she said. She said, "This episode resonated with me in a number of ways. Would you believe that it was the tension in my heart over whether or not to participate in Halloween activities that ultimately placed me on the road to Rome? I knew if I gave up Halloween on grounds of pagan underpinnings, I would have to toss Christmas out the window as well. I didn't want to do that, but the strife placed me on a journey looking for answers that I found. I'm certainly not going to argue anyone's position, but I do recall an author saying that as Christians, we should embrace Halloween, because in today's culture, that's often the only day out of the year that neighbors actually open their doors to one another and present an opportunity to connect." I like that. For Kim's point, fantastic. I agree.
on the other side is Melody. So here's what she says. She's a person we've talked about on the podcast before. Fantastic blog. She writes at blossomingjoy.com, has an opposite view on this and says that I've had death on the brain lately. She's studying to be a doula midwife, part of her training. And so she talks about in her blog post, the reaction of children to death and of a certain age group, really their only exposure is skeletons and monsters and things that they saw during Halloween. If they're really young, they really don't have a concept, but kind of in that step up age, they do. But that's what it is. It's kind of a really backwards view. It's not a beautiful view. It's a fear. So she elaborates on that. She says most people fear death to some degree. That's not the issue. What struck me was noteworthy is the case that this secular disaster relief organization, which did the study, has Halloween as an inhibitor to a child's healthy understanding of death. And she said, the reality in a faith context is that our American version of Halloween is terrible catechesis. In fact, I would call it anti-catechesis for providing the wrong answer to life's most important questions. Such an attitude is typically modern American. We rush through grief, we sweep it under the rug, and we run from age and pain and death with a frantic passion. Halloween practices encourage this dysfunction by contributing to confusion and ignorance of something that, when rightly supported, is actually our greatest moment of grace on earth. Totally agree with that. And two very thoughtful perspectives to consider. And both have good points. And what I like about feedback like that is that it does force us to think about it. And that can be uncomfortable because I still don't know the answer to that in my own home. This year, you know, we do have Halloween and we're going to be in moderation. We're just going to have, you know, a little bit of candy, not a lot that we're going to hand out. The kids are going to dress up, but it isn't something that we place particular interest in. So I think for me, we don't emphasize it a lot. We do not decorate our house in a, you know, creepy way. And I think that some kids are more drawn to that sort of thing. They think it's cool. Where little kids, they are really scared. And there's an innocence, a purity that really overwhelms them. And I think that we should take a cue from that, that spiritual purity is something that gets lost along the way. And we kind of buy into this, you know, oh, it's just a joke. And it's a huge business. I mean, especially these like giant forest haunted houses and mansions and all the, I mean, they've been around forever, but now the level, the scale is huge. And that speaks to our culture as well. So I think it's always important to be diligent and to, as best we can, counteract that with acts of prayer and praying more in these times where it is clear that has been, you know, pretty much proven in the spiritual realm that it's an open gateway where there are people that are dabbling in those things more, whether it's the Ouija board or these practices that can really open themselves up. So we need to be praying more. We need to warn and prepare our children and ourselves, not to scare them, but to say we are people of the light. So we will bring light in where there's darkness. We will protect our home like a moat around a castle, because that's what we're called to do. So food for thought, something to think about, is Halloween is going to be here before we know it, but also All Saints Day and All Souls Day. And one of my favorite things to do is, it sounds weird and creepy, but it's beautiful to me, to go into a cemetery and to pray. And I love to read the headstones and to think about the lives and to pray for the families of those you read. And you read names that are not ones you hear very much today. You hear beautiful names. So there's always something that you can do to shine a light. And that's just kind of a tidbit and a takeaway. And of course, I always love your feedback. So keep it coming. Anything that you have to offer about Halloween and really even Thanksgiving as we enter into that, because we really want to try to sanctify all of our holidays coming up. Obviously, Advent is a topic in and of itself, and we'll get there. But for now, some thoughts on Halloween. And next, I'm going to segue into a topic that I really did not want to talk about. So I'm going to try to rush through this. I wanted to just kind of quietly go away, but I need to at least touch on something that has changed in our home. And it was something we did talk about a lot. And I don't want to just blow by it because it is a big deal, even though it's not something that's pleasant for me personally, but I have peace about it. So without further ado, that is the topic of homeschooling. And if you've listened to the podcast for a while, you know that I was planning to homeschool and did in the beginning of the year for two of my boys, of our five kids. And it was an experience I was honestly, personally excited about, although I know that I needed to be prepared for a bit of some hills and valleys, a honeymoon period, and then a letdown, because I've heard from a lot of great homeschool families before. I've done it myself and knew that it's not always the easiest thing, that you're going to be pushed, you're going to be challenged, you're going to find yourself in situations where you just feel like you can't do it. And then there'll be these beautiful mountaintop moments where it just makes it all worth it. So the first month or two was really hard. And I think we talked a little bit about that on the podcast or episode 24, 23. We started on August 10th. And to make a long story short, the kids are back in school. They're back in their Catholic school. And I don't want to say that I am a failure. My three-year-old, this tells you how the parenting kind of gets shoddier as time goes on. But not really. My three-year-old, who's almost four, his big phrase right now is failure. And he, like, if somebody drops something on the floor, that's what he says right away. And that's what I keep hearing in my mind when I think about this topic. But the truth is that homeschooling is a calling, and it's a great gift and privilege. And I recognize that when I homeschooled before, it was in a really kind of weird year because I was pregnant. I had morning sickness. I was working full time. My dad had been diagnosed with lung cancer and was dying, and we were in the middle of an adoption. And through all of that, we loved it. And I could see that it was very difficult. However, there were so many wonderful things about it that I fell in love with it. And this was maybe 4 years ago. This experience had all of those stressors removed, but it really wasn't great. And I found myself yelling a lot. I found myself being very overwhelmed. We have a unique situation anyway, in that my oldest son goes to a high school that's a bit of a distance away. I have a special needs daughter, so she has a lot of different things going on that I need to be on top of and scheduling. And I'm not trying to give a treatise of an excuse, just to say that day by day, it became harder and it became more clear to me that I needed to not prove a point. And that if it was better for my children to go to a school that they were familiar with, they loved, they knew, and they did well at, then really that would be okay. So for me, it was a bit of a surrender where we're blessed with options, both probably very good. And I chose to send them back to Catholic school. And I'm happy I did. They adjusted right away. they were all set off and running because they loved their friends. And I have heard that it is much harder. So this is advice to anyone who does have kids that are in school. It can be much harder to pull them out and try to homeschool than if that's all they've ever known. So if you have little ones and you're thinking, oh, maybe I'll homeschool, try that first, I would say, before you put them in school, and then try to take them out again, because it is a bit of a challenge. For me, having really busybody boys and every day trying to remind them to sit still and to listen. And I realize, you know, expectations are everything. But to make a long story short, it was just the best thing for everybody. And since then, it's been glorious. So I will say that, you know, wherever the Holy Spirit leads, I just try to obey. And maybe I don't always make the best decision, but I think that's for all of us, just trying to redeem the decisions that we have as God has mercy on us and we do the best that we can. So that's the update there. And I wanted to share with you, I had a book that I wanted to share with you. I'm just going to try to paraphrase it. It's called We and Our Children. And that's my book of the week for you today, okay? Because this book has been in my treasure trove for probably the last 4 years, where not a week goes by, no matter how tired I am or how late it is, that I don't crash in bed and at least open up one page of this book. In the morning, I have my Magnificat. I do my Bible readings. That's a routine there. Try to get a rosary in if I can during the day. Always at night, I try to pick up this book. And this book was written by a woman in the 1950s. And the way she carries out creativity to bring faith alive to the children in her home of all ages is extraordinary. And I never tire of reading it. And one of the things I read that I wanted to share with you was about leaving your children with Mary. And again, this speaks to anyone of all different faith traditions, because it is a way that we can bring the truth that there are angels and saints, there is our Heavenly Father who watches over all of us into our lives as a real relationship and not just a thing that you read in the children's Bible or you look up in the sky, which is fine, but part of the way that we think and react and live by relying on these saints. And so that's what she said with Mary, that she always would leave her children with Mary. So she would say, okay, guys, I'm going down to the mailbox. I'm going to leave you with Mary. And Mary always gives you really great ideas to do. So just ask her what you want to do. Or if she was busy and she was saying, you know, I'm baking bread, and her son would come in and say, Mom, could you come out and look at my mud pies? And she'd say, oh, I can't right now. My hand is in the dough, but why don't you show Mary your mud pies? You know, Jesus always made the best mud pies. And it sounds maybe silly. I don't think it does. I think it's beautiful in our era, in our culture, but I just love the way she became like a child. And what sparks the imagination of our children? It's play like that. It's play that is a spiritual, you know, interaction. And I think as adults, we kind of lose that. You know, we're very pragmatic. We think about what needs to be done. We get frustrated and sigh because, okay, either we have to take our hands out of the dough or we have to tell them no. And that's not the case. So I really recommend that book. That's just one little nugget of this entire book. It's by Mary Read Newland. A bit of the description just says, all things central to a child's life, play, work, school, creative activity, family responsibilities, prayer, the sacraments, are shown to be occasions for encouraging a spiritual outlook and the formation of sound Christian habits. This is an inspiring and common sense guide that helps all parents develop spiritual and moral character in their children. I remember when she shared a story about her little son. He was taking a bath and she was drying him off. And she said, who made you? And he said, God made you. And from his earliest recollection, he could always say, I know where I came from. I know God made me and I know I'm loved. So I wish so much that I would have had this book when my oldest was a baby, and that's now gone. But I can still incorporate things where we are today. And with Gus, if anyone asks Gus, who made you? He will say God. And I love that. I mean, of course, now someone will ask him and he'll say Hulk or something. But up to now, every time I've ever asked him, he has said that. So that is a definite book pick of the week that I highly recommend. Another something to share with you today, you know, for our family, Carol Wojtyła Lolek, St. John Paul II, has had such a personal impact. And I want to transition from that personal aspect to someone who has been very personal. If I never believed in God before and I had any experience with Christ, I would say next to that would be the miracle I felt with our adoption and St. John Paul II. And there's a whole story there that often I share in my talks and different testimonies. But if you know the story, and I know so many have stories of when you call on saints and ask their intercession, that things happen that you cannot explain. These divine appointments come together, whether it's the grace to get through the next day or something that shows up on your doorstep or a person that really is a God wink, and you know that. And with our reading this week, I've been focusing a lot on St. John Paul II. We try to coordinate the tickets of our retreat to actually go on sale on his feast day, and as a way to honor as a man that was such a leader in the new evangelization. And he said in Poland, Lord, send out your spirit and renew the face of the earth. And that's what we're all trying to do, I think, in our homes, in our workplace, in our own lives. And I wanted to share a quote as I record this. It will be the week of his feast day. Specifically, it's October 22nd, but it is a fantastic quote that I keep going back to. And it says this, our true mother tongue is the praise of God, the language of heaven, our true home. Today, we see that human pride and sin have made it difficult for many people to speak their mother tongue. In order to be able to sing God's praises, we must relearn the language of humility and trust, the language of moral integrity and of sincere commitment to all that is truly good in the sight of the Lord. That's St. John Paul II. Beautiful reminder, humility and trust, and to relearn the praise of God. That is our true mother tongue. And I guess I'd like to end on that note. And it's a short and sweet podcast today because I wanted to first and foremost just thank you and share that gratitude of my heart for the retreat and for this prayer coming to life. And a reminder that tickets are still on sale. You can find them if you go to our Facebook page, which is Good Things Radio. And we also have a newsletter that we've sent out. And the neat thing is, this, guys, is just the pre-sale. These were tickets only allotted to Good Things Radio listeners that now will go on in a wide marketing promotion, hopefully, and be on sale for everybody. So that's just a little tidbit, FYI. It's Arise, the Good Things Radio Women's Retreat. You can find it on the Eventbrite site. But so many good things that are planned in that. And I thank you for being here, for listening and supporting Good Things Radio. Next week, we are going to have a special guest on the program that is talking about the power of prayer. I'm excited about this. This is going to be an in-the-house guest. I'm still trying to figure out the call-in guest. I promise we'll get there. I also would love to hear your voice feedback. Here's the deal. We don't have a phone number anymore that's active for Good Things Radio, but we're working on that. However, if you are tech savvy, if you have a smartphone, and Whitney, a couple weeks ago, she did this and I was so impressed, but all you need to do is download, I think it's called iMicrophone or iRecord. It might be iRecord. And essentially, you just hit the red microphone button, you record your voice, and then you send it to me via email. And you can chime in about any topic, anything you want to hear about, any tip you want to share with other moms, any story that you might have. And we're going to go back to recipes as well. I don't want you to think I forgot that, but frankly, I have not been cooking very well. So I've been sick and dealing with this retreat on top of it and everything else. So I definitely want to get back to that, because as much as I want to offer tips, I would love to hear your tips as well. Please keep the feedback coming. We also want you, please, to help increase the visibility of our show so that it can continue to grow. So if you could spare a few minutes, please go to iTunes, just search up Good Things Radio and the podcast directory. If you like what you hear, leave a positive review. That kind of helps get our show up on the list a little bit so people can find us and hopefully, God willing, be blessed and participate as well. And we always love to hear from you. So if you are listening, let us know that email feedback. If you aren't into the voice feedback, that's fine. That's fine with me. Just send a quick email. It's feedback@goodthingsradio.com. Tell a friend and join the conversation. Thank you so much for listening to episode 26 of Good Things Radio. Thank you so much for your support, your friendship, and your prayers along the way. Stay tuned next week. A great podcast coming up. More updates as well. We'll catch you on Facebook. God bless.
This episode of Good Things Radio was produced by Mark Cumming at Cumming Home Studio. Your solution for all audio and video needs, www.cumminghomestudio.com.